When I first came to the South End to try my hand at homesteading, I was poor. Real poor. How poor, you ask? I was so poor I hauled washed up lumber off the beach sometimes as far away as a mile, then up the bluff trail and over to the shack. So poor I used bent nails I had pulled from old boards and bent straight. Trust me, this wasn't a Johnny Carson monologue. We were so poor I borrowed air from the neighbor's tires to pump up mine, followed by a drum roll. So poor I took a job at Twin City Foods shoveling wet corn husks onto a conveyor belt from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. Me, a boy who'd sworn he'd never work in a factory. But desperation is certainly the mother of compromise. I was issued a rain slicker and a pair of rubber boots and a big wide shovel, then told to stand under a waterfall of dripping husks on their way to waiting trucks outside that would haul it all off for silage. All being the operative word, and my job was to get what fell off back on. My first night, which was also my last, the conveyor belt broke down about 3 a.m. The foreman gave the line workers an indefinite cigarette break. They were mostly middle-aged women, toughened by their hard lives and as friendly as scorpions in a rainstorm. I had no pretensions to some factory social life, after-work beers, breakfasts at the Viking Cafe, It looked like Russia on the skids to me under the corn drippin', surrounded by matrons in scarves, furiously pulling on their cigarettes, hoping the machinery might never start up again. My foreman came over and said, "Bring your shovel and follow me." Outside, cold. Colder yet if you were already wet. He said, "Shovel these husks off that belt. We gotta work on it." I looked at a quarter mile of husks in front of me from Stanwoodopolis to Dawn. I said, "Why don't we get a dozen of these line workers and we'll get it done 12 times faster?" He could see I was foreman material right there. Of course, that was his job and he planned to keep it. "Get shoveling," he ordered. "We haven't got all night." All night was pretty much what I did have. By the time I finished, it was time to clean the machines inside, get them ready for the day crew. Nobody showed me how, just gave me a soap bucket and a scrub brush and we went to work. Some yahoo turned my machine on without warning, and next thing I knew, my wrist was hammered against a stainless steel guardrail. I couldn't get it freed, and I couldn't make my plea to shut off the power herd until I'd gotten a laceration and a pretty good scare thrown into me. I made a tourniquet out of my handkerchief and went to my foreman for some medical attention. "How'd you manage that?" he asked disgustedly. I told him. "What do you want?" he asked. I said, "Maybe a bandage, tape, something to wrap up the wound." 15 minutes later, he came back. Couldn't find a first aid kit. By then, the gash had pretty much quit bleeding. I was pretty much done reading the bulletin board. Lost hours, recent accidents, fingers chopped off in the cutters, grim statistics, serious stuff for a place with no first aid kit handy. I got the picture. I handed him my boots and my slicker. "You can take those home with you," he said. I said, "Nah, I won't be needing them since I won't be coming back." "You pissed about this?" he wanted to know. I shook my head wearily. "No," I said, "I'd just like to keep my fingers, all of them." I didn't quite make it to the end of the shift. Driving home in the gray light of a dirty dawn, I thought, there's way worse than being poor. And so then and there, I took my first, if not my last, vow of poverty.